Let's all lift our voices and praise our Savior this morning. Amen. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
Never been more glad
All the glory this morning.
Thank you, worship team. That was a very fitting song to lead into the service today. I'm sure that was on purpose. If you haven't already, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. As Chris read for us, it's going to be verses 24 through 29. It's a bittersweet morning. We have made it to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how many months we've been in the Sermon on the Mount, but it's been very good as far as my spiritual walk, very convicting. Jesus is teaching throughout this sermon, but we've come to the very end today, and it's a good one. My mom told me a story about when I was born. I don't remember this. She had to tell me. And she said that when she brought me home from the hospital, she was at the house, and my great-grandfather, Papa Hayes, wanted to come put eyes on me, wanted to come see me. And she said he came over to the house, and he walked in, and he didn't really have anything to say except for, take those socks off his feet. Mom was like, what? I mean, you don't like the socks? I'm not sure. Is that not good? And he came over there. She took the socks off my feet, and he grabbed my foot in his hand, and he looked at it, and he just looked at it, and he said, he's got a good foundation. And Lord, 13 sighs later, he was right, a good foundation. But a good foundation is critical to support our bodies, it's critical to support our buildings, but it's also critical to support our lives. In this passage, Jesus speaks to people who are building a life. Both parties are going to be building their lives, but they're not both building on the same foundation. That's the key difference. Jesus' audience in today's world is church people. Jesus' audience is sermon hearers. Jesus' audience are just regular listeners. The question that you're going to have to answer today, or that I encourage you to answer, is your life built upon the rock, or is your life built upon the sand? You've got two options. You're going to be built or building your house on one or the other. The challenge is a revealing storm is coming for all of us. It may be in this life, but it's definitely coming in the end for every person in judgment. Hearing Jesus' words means nothing if his words do not shape how you live. Only obedience builds a life that can survive the storms in life and the final storm of judgment. And before we start, I want you to hear this. I'm not preaching a works-based sermon. Please don't hear that. That's not what this is. But one thing it is undeniable is this O word. Obedience. We're not going to get past it. It's through and through this entire passage. But just here, I'm not telling anyone today that you need to start pulling up your boots and earning your salvation. I'm not saying that. But obedience can't be overlooked in this passage. If you desire to survive the storms of life and judgment, then you must build your life on obedience to Jesus, the rock. Let's go back to verse 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, they slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall. Why? For it had been founded on the rock. Jesus says the wise man is the one who hears his words and takes action. Not just hears his words, not just takes action, both things together. Hears and takes action, acts on them. Obedience, ladies and gentlemen, is not optional. It's evidence of genuine faith. Scripture could not be more clear. And I've included, and I'm going to read them in full. I know sometimes that y'all are like, good grief, here's another one, here's another. But I don't want us to miss this morning. I'm going to read you three verses that you can't step over without understanding that obedience is part of Christian faith. We're going to have them on the screen. 1 John 1:6 through 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with Jesus, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, obey, act, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from His sins, our sins, all sins, sorry. 1 John 2:4 through 6. Let's look at the second one together. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. That's pretty straightforward. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought to himself walk in the same manner as He walked. That's part of following someone. That's part of following Jesus. Is He's walking, He's taking this step, I'm going to take this step. Are you going to fall short? Are you going to trip sometimes? Yes, absolutely. But the trajectory of your life should be right behind Him doing what He did. Amen? Am I right or wrong? I like y'all to say an amen sometimes. It makes me feel like I'm saying something that makes some sense. Let's do one more. James is a hard hitter. 1:22 through 24. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and he's gone away, he immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Building upon the rock is not just knowing Jesus' words. Building upon the rock is obeying Jesus' words. Shane hired me one day a couple of years ago to help him put a foundation on a house in Smoke Rise. Thank goodness. I know they used to dig them by hand with a shovel. This was not that situation. They had an excavator. So by the time I got there, the full ditch was dug. I call it a ditch. I forget the name of that. But anyway, it's where the house is going to lay, and they dig it around, and it's a certain depth, and then they're going to bring the concrete in, and they pour that in there. Well, we had gotten everything just right, and I was excited. I thought the day's work was over. And I said, what's all that rebar doing over there? And he said, that's your rebar. You're going to take that, and you're going to bend it, and you're going to lay it all throughout this ditch, right? I said, me? I'm going to do that? And he was like, yeah, if you want me to pay you today. And I was like, I indeed want to be paid. I've done come too far. And so I took that rebar, and every time there was a corner, I bent it, and I laid it down in there. What did we put the rebar in there for? To further reinforce the foundation for this house, because that's how important a foundation is. It doesn't matter how much money you spend in a house. You can spend millions of dollars on a house. It don't have a good foundation, you're wasting your time. Few people admire the digging, the sweat, and the foundation work that is never going to be seen again. You couldn't find that foundation we poured today. But it's there, and it's a good one. Spirit-led obedience is the unseen foundation that secures our souls. The New American Commentary puts it clearly, judgment day will come like a flood to disclose which spiritual structures will endure. Preliminary crisis may also reveal authentic and inauthentic spirituality. Often only in times of crisis is one's faith truly proven. Nobody's asking for a crisis. But that's the storm. That's what's going to reveal what is really there. Is there a foundation there or not? Storms don't ruin the foundation. Storms reveal it. Specifically, what actions build, if we're wanting to build our lives on the rock, if we're wanting to be obedient, what does that mean? What steps do we take to build upon Jesus the rock? Number one, it starts with belief and confession as Jesus Christ as Lord. Wednesday night when we got to talk to David, that was what I asked him. I said, well, where are you at? Do you believe? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? That's where it begins. We can't, there's nothing that we can do prior to that. It all begins and ends on Jesus. But if we don't believe and confess Him, the next step is not there. It's not relevant. So we got to believe and confess Jesus is Lord. Number two, regularly read His words. We've got to get in His Word. We've got to read it. We've got to know what He did if we're ever going to obey. It's just like the illustration that I talked about, Lindley. She went up there and tried to, blow my truck up the other day, but I couldn't get mad at her. I'd never talked her through how to crank it. And we're expecting to live for Jesus, yet we've never even looked and seen what He said to do. Don't make any sense when you really sit back and think about it. And then regularly share the truth of Jesus with others. We should all be, once we understand, once we believe, and once we confess, we should be encouraging others to do the same thing and letting them hear the words of God so that they can believe. We need to prioritize Jesus in a couple of areas of our life. Number one, with our schedules. We're all so busy, and I get that. Life is busy. Jesus should be part of that busy. Amen? Two, with our finances. Three, relationships that we have throughout our lives. What about our thought life? Is Jesus included in our thought life? With how we make decisions? I'm going to read one more. I said I had three. I'm going to read one more because I really want you to hear what I'm saying this morning. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Follow along with me. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure, Spirit-led obedience, not man-generated works. We should be, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be doing those works because it's God in us that is producing these works for His glory. And that's why it's so important to be built upon the rock, to be building that foundation there, building our houses, our lives on that foundation through the power of the Holy Spirit and obedience to Jesus. Don't wait for the storm to show you what you should have been building upon all along. Build your life on obedience to Jesus, the rock. If you desire to survive the storms of life and judgment, then you must refuse to build your life on the world or the sand. Look at verse 26 and 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. The foolish man also hears Jesus' words. It's not like the first guy had a special pass. The foolish guy hears them too. They both hear them. But he doesn't act upon those words. Two parts. He builds on what is convenient. He builds on what's comfortable. He builds upon what's culturally accepted. The house looks fine. Look at it. It's actually bigger than your house. Look at my house. It's perfect. It's brick. It's got all the latest furnishings. The lighting's all LED. It's great. The house looks fine until the storm arrives. And then it don't look so good. Y'all remember the floods that came last year through North Carolina? Any of y'all watch that news coverage? It was horrible. Did any of y'all see some houses floating down those rivers? Now, I'm not saying they built their houses on the sand, but that's a picture of what your house will look like in a storm if it is built upon the world, if it's built upon anything but Jesus Christ. It may be a beautiful house. Your four walls may still be together, but they're going to be floating down the river. They ain't going to be built on a rock. They're not going to be where you built them. Many people assume hearing equals building. They think because they attend church, listen to sermons, learn all the Bible stories, they're safe. I've built. I'm good. Failing to teach and encourage obedience will only produce spiritual consumers, not spiritual builders. I pray that we're not building spiritual consumers. I pray that you come here to build, to learn, to build, to grow, to deepen your obedience, to deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ, not to say, well, if we do 2 out of 4 this month, we killed it. We got it. We're good. 2 out of 4 Sundays, we may throw a Wednesday in there. Maybe. And I'm going to prove that Christianity. That ain't it. I want you to come. If it, two Sundays, 4 Sundays, I want you to come. That's not what I'm saying. But don't let that be the only thing. Like, that's the mark. I was in attendance. I listened to him ramble for 30 minutes 4 times this month. I'm good. That ain't it. Came for the wrong reason. The disobedient don't fail spiritually because they never heard Jesus. They fail because they didn't take him seriously. One commentator wrote, the real question is not whether we say orthodox Christian things about Jesus or whether we listen to sermons, we listen to WDJC at least for an hour a day. I've got one Spotify list dedicated to Christian music. Rather, it's whether we do what he said or not. Knowledge without obedience is self-deception. Religion without obedience is sand. Jesus describes the collapse as a great fall. Great was its fall. This is not a crack in the sheetrock. This is not a chip on the tile floor in the kitchen that you're going to have to pop up that tile and regrout it and put it back down there. This is a total collapse of the house, a total collapse of life, a total loss, a house that is floating down the river that you will never see again. What emotions are associated with that kind of loss? I've never seen anyone stand outside a house that is burning down just going, burn, baby, yes. Y'all see that, man? Feel the heat. This is great. I mean, warm is what this is. I am so happy that I don't ever have to see those pictures again. And my favorite, you know, my papa's tool set. And says nobody ever. It's total emotional damage. And what I'm trying to encourage you and help you to avoid today is when a storm comes, I don't want you to be sitting there outside your house going, there it goes. Or worse, in judgment, standing before the great throne. And then that storm comes and says, I never knew you. That's some emotional damage that you're never going to be able to get over. But today you could change that. Today you could transition that house from being built on the sand to being built on the rock and never worry about it. A life built on the sand may look strong for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. But when the storm hits, whether in life or in judgment, the collapse will be undeniable. What can we do about it? Identify the worldly sands that you've trusted, whether it be your reputation, your attendance record, your self-sufficiency, your comfort, your religion, and trade that in for submission to Jesus. Repent of selective obedience. Maybe you've picked these things that are easy to obey and you let those things over there, they're kind of tough. But that's okay. I'm not going to worry about those. If we're not worried about Jesus being serious, then we're going to leave those alone. But he wants the whole thing. Don't pretend Jesus' teachings are optional. I never got that. I never get that when I read the Bible, that he's like making this. It'd be good if you did this, guys. I don't read it that way. Ask yourself, where am I building? Am I building on the sand and just hoping nobody notices? Hoping the storm doesn't come? Move from information, just hearing, to transformation. Let Jesus transform your life. It's up to him. Only he can do it. Refuse to build your life on the world, the sand. If you desire to survive the storms, then you must go beyond admiring Jesus' words. Admiring is great. I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. We should admire Jesus' words. I admire Jesus' words. But go beyond admiration is what I want to call you to. Look at verse 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed. Not because of the stories, but why? Because he spoke with an authority that they had never heard before. It was unlike their scribes that they would have been taught week in and week out by. You see, what the scribes would do is they would read Scripture, but they would quote previous rabbis, previous teachers. They would say, well, you know, remember old Ricky? I'm sure it wasn't Ricky, but Ricky said this, and this was something I've always took to heart. And Bobby always taught this. And remember what Bobby says, because this is what Bobby said. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came in there and said, I say to you. That's authority. That's not a reference to somebody. Jesus spoke to them as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And they were amazed by it. Anyone remember the tornado back in 2011? That was horrible. I'm not trying to bring up a bunch of catastrophic events. That's just kind of how it happened. But I remember the tornado of 2011 because I was standing outside of OR 508 at UAB Hospital. You know, they were talking about, you know, because in the middle of surgery, people were asleep and depending on anesthesiology. And I was thinking about, where's Philip going? Like I hear that, and I appreciate that they need the anesthesiologist to stay, but I'm just a nurse. And if that thing's headed towards UAB Hospital, I'm going to go find a basement. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. But I was out there, and thankfully that thing went north of town. It went through North Birmingham. I'll never forget it because I was standing there at the windows on the fifth floor looking at it. It just kept going. Like, you could see it. It was so wide, and that thing was just going through there, just wrecking havoc through North Birmingham. It had already done it and destroyed Tuscaloosa, if y'all remember. That was a horrible day. So I stood there and admired the storm from a distance because there was no threat to me. I was way out of the way, thankfully. But that's not a very good thing to do if you're in the where that thing's headed. To just sit there and stand in amazement and let that be it. Well, man, I'm so amazed at this tornado as it barrels down on you and your house and your life. Unfortunately, some people are doing that. They hear Jesus' words. They amaze them. Like, man, that is awesome. And never heed it. Never heed his word. Never seek to be obedient. And that's no different than just standing there with a storm just bearing down on you, just going, well, okay. Maybe it'll go around me. Maybe I'll be okay. Sadly, as Jesus said last week, only or a few, 2 weeks ago, only a few move to shelter and find the narrow gate. They just stand there at the wide gate. Some of you may be stuck this morning only admiring Jesus and not building upon him and preparing for that storm. Astonishment is not obedience. Inspiration is not transformation. Feeling moved is not the same as being surrendered. Many churchgoers admire Jesus' words, but refuse to submit to his authority. That is one thing that has totally changed when I counsel and talk to somebody about salvation. one thing that I have really felt led to do before that time is concluded is to ask them a question. Do you really want to follow him? Do you really want to live like him? Do you really want to obey his commands? I think that's important. I think that's only fair to just say, well, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, who is going to say yes to that? Let's just be honest for just a minute. I'm off the cuff here, kind of. Nobody is going to tell you they just want to go to hell and burn in dark separation from God forever. I think a better question is to set it up. Jesus commands obedience. And are you ready for that? Do you believe he is the way, the truth, and the life? And do you want to follow him? I ask you the same question this morning. Do you want to follow him? Do you believe that his words are the best words? His ways are the best ways, that only life is in him? It's much more than just an admiration. Jesus doesn't speak like a commentator. He speaks like the author. He speaks like the judge. He speaks like the king. His authority demands obedience, not... Treat Jesus' commands as non-negotiable. Bring every part of your life under his authority. A good question for us this morning is, do I admire Jesus more than I obey him? Don't walk away amazed. Don't walk away transformed. Go beyond admiring Jesus' words. So Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount with a warning, not a suggestion. And the warning is simple. Your life will stand or fall based upon your foundation. Two builders, two foundations, two outcomes, and only one survives. And it's the one who built their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So which one are you this morning? Which one are you? Seriously. I have three responses that we could do this morning. To the believer, let's start with the true believer. If your life is built on the rock, keep obeying. Keep pursuing. Deepen the relationship. Double down, triple down, quadruple down. Don't drift away. Ask God to strengthen what he's already started and forge the house. Storms will come. They may shake us. But one thing is, they cannot take us because we are Jesus's. The second way we could respond this morning, and this is for the false believer, somebody who thought they were there, but working through Jesus' words here, like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever got there. This is for you. If your life sounds Christian, but it is not built on obedience to Jesus, if you hear sermons, you may even read your Bible regularly, but it never changes you. If you talk faith, but never walk faith, then Jesus says your foundation is on the sand and your life is in jeopardy. But you don't have to stay on the sand. That's the beautiful part. Jesus gives the warning and then calls you to the rock. Today, if you come in here, you've got all the boxes checked, you're looking good, you dress nice, everything, but you've never built upon the rock, and you're built on the sand, I just encourage you to repent from that and go to the rock and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Start with what we talked about a second ago. We've got to start with belief and confession, and then Jesus will fill you with your Holy Spirit, and we'll go from there, and he will build the house from there. Move from hearing about Jesus to actually following him. Now let's talk about the person who's never built upon the rock. They really had no idea they were built upon the sand. Let's talk to that person this morning. Jeffrey and y'all can come up. Today can be the day that you Start building your house, start building your life upon a foundation. You gain a true foundation by coming to Jesus Christ in faith. It starts by believing in Him. You've heard the truth this morning, and now it's acting on the truth. Believe in Him, trust His word, submit your life to Him. The Bible tells us that Jesus will forgive you, He will steady you, He will strengthen you, and He will make you brand new. I had a heartbreaking conversation a little while back, and I think it was based on a misunderstanding. It was like, well, I'm still sinning too much to become a Christian. I thought, man, what does that mean? Where does that come from? We're all sinning too much. But it's a misunderstanding that we come broken to Jesus. That's how He invites us. We are sinners, all of us, every single one. And Jesus invites the sinner in, and He changes the sinner. He doesn't ask you to get changed, to get cleaned up, and then come to Him. He says, come to Him. Place your faith in Me, and I'll do the work. I'll clean the mess up. And so today, if that's you, I want to encourage you. That's it. If you're too sinful to come, that's just a broken mindset. Because the Jesus I serve, and the Jesus and the blood, the Jesus I believe in that He shed, there's not a sin it can't cover. So if the devil's lied to you and said, well, buddy, you crossed that line of Jesus' power, His blood just can't cover that. That's a lie. And I ask you not to believe it anymore. And just come and ask Him to forgive you of those sins and start a relationship with Him today. Because the storm will come in this life. And if it doesn't come in this life, it will come at judgment. And it will reveal whether we truly believe and obey Jesus Christ or we don't. Where is your foundation? If you would please stand. The altar's open. I'll be down front if you have any questions. But let's lift our voices in praise, if nothing else, as we bring a close today.